So now we start with this wonderful canto 1, chapter 1 and text 2, which Dhammaraj Prabhu covered a little bit yesterday. The reason I think it's very... because even though we'll be talking about these great personalities, but there's connection with Bhagavatam as well. So please, with your permission, we can start. This is amazing. Yesterday I was trying this this is a very long verse. I mean, it's quite long, and I tried so many different meter to sing this verse. Nothing worked. The only thing that worked was this. We just sing about the Goswami. You'll see how this fit in so well. It was just amazing. Okay, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Complete rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Puran propound the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are truly pure in the heart. The highest truth is really distinguished from illusion, from the welfare of all. Such truths approach the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity is sufficient in itself for God-realization. What is the need for any other scriptures? As soon as one attentively and submissively hear this message of Bhagavatam, by the culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. We have a very long purport, and I really want to talk about these great personalities. What shall I do? Shall we dive into the... Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know it's there, but it just will take a long time, and I know it's Prabhupada's purport. Shall we just speak one which will be connecting what I was going to, you know? So we see. Okay, we'll do this one. Oh, okay. Let's, how many is there? 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll read this one. Over and above this, Srimad Bhagavatam is a personal commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Srila Vyasadeva. It was written in the maturity of his spiritual life through the mercy of Narada. Srila Vyasadeva is the authorized incarnation of Narayan, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, there is no question as his authority. He is the author of all other Vedic literature, yet he recommends the study of Srimad Bhagavatam above all others. In other Puranas, there are different methods set forth by which one can worship the demigod. But in the Bhagavatam, only the Supreme Lord is mentioned. The Supreme Lord is the total body, and the demigod or the different part of that body. Consequently, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, one does not need to worship the demigod. The Supreme Lord becomes fixed in the heart of the devotee immediately. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended the Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Purana and distinguished it from all Puranas. The proper method for receiving this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. A challenging attitude cannot help one realize this transcendental message. One particular word is used herein for proper guidance. The word is sushrushu. One must be anxious to hear this transcendental message. The desire to sincerely hear is a qualification. Less fortunate persons are not at all interested in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. The process is simple, but the application is difficult. Unfortunately, people find enough time to hear ideal social and political conversation. But when invited to attend a meeting of devotees to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they suddenly become reluctant. Sometimes professional readers of the Bhagavatam immediately plunge into the confidential topic of the pastime of the Supreme Lord, which they seemingly interpret as sex literature. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be heard from the beginning. Those who are fit to assimilate this work are mentioned in the shloka. One becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. The intelligent person with thoughtful discretion can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva He can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam without undergoing the different stages of the realization set forth in the Vedas. One can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahamsa simply by agreeing to receive this message. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamni Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nivishesha Sunyavadi Pastachyadi Sitarini Jai Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Shri Gaura Bhaktavinda Panchakalpati Rubyasya Kipasindu Vibhyavicha Patitanam Bhavanivyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. This purport is very big. And I was listening to some lectures by Gurujan Prabhu, and he was explaining, before Srila Prabhupada started this great world of Bhagavatam, and he thought he might not complete the whole Bhagavatam. So he has put everything in this first canto. It has three volumes. Which Prabhupada started, he wrote in Vrindavan before he started his epic journey to America. So this Bhagavatam, and I was thinking, how did we get this qualification? What is our adhikar to even being here, you know, to listen to this Bhagavatam? And we basically were mercy cases, you know. Srila Prabhupada used to say, I created your pious activity, your pious deed. And in here we just mentioned that after many years, many lifetime of pious activity, you know, piety, then we'll be able to sit in the association of the Vaishnava and relish the pastime that Srila Vyasadeva and Srila Prabhupada has given us. Initially, Srila Vyasadeva was not completely satisfied with writing all these different, you know, books, because he was not dealing with the Supreme Lord in his pastime and his devotional service. Then he got the mercy from Narada Muni, acting as his spiritual master, giving the path, how he should, you know, the reason he was not satisfied, because he was, you know, like the Mahabharata deal with diplomacy, romance, oh, there's so much going on. There's nothing was, you know, in between the Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita. People read Bhagavad Gita, most of the time they skip that part of, Mahabharata, they skip Bhagavad Gita because it's technical. They don't really get the, you know, get it. But then, you know, and I was thinking, Srila Vyasadeva is a literary incarnation of the Lord himself. How come he missed that part to glorify the Lord? And then usually in every pastime, there's a lesson for us to learn. And what is this lesson here? That we cannot just go and write any books on our own. A Vaishnava is always hankering for the blessing of each other. A Vaishnava is a well-wisher of each other. And always, you know, any devotee will do something, will go, Prabhu, is it okay if I do this? Is it is normal daily life? We always we want somebody to say, yes, Prabhu, you know, this is okay. This is not okay. And that's exactly what we should do in our spiritual journey, not to act independently and to always get the somebody who's guiding us, somebody who's taking us to Krishna. That's exactly what, you know, Narada Muni was doing. He was guiding Srila Veda Vyasadeva to write about this personality that we worship every day on the altar. Who is this personality? You know, in the first line of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, start with when Srila Veda Vyasadeva start his, you know, this great nectar. He start with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He's paying all his full obeisances to the Supreme Lord, to the Supreme Personality of God, is complete. He has the absolute truth, the great personality. you know, is great. You know, sometimes you, when you hear this word, it's so big that you cannot assimilate. How can you approach this great person? But at the same time, he gave that person, he gave that absolute personality. He is a small boy running in Vrindavan. You know, he has a mother, he has a father, he has his girlfriend, he has a boyfriend, he's playing around. And he make it much more easier for us to understand, okay, this is personality, it's not that difficult to achieve. And you have the darshan Radha Gokulananda. Every day he has this beautiful expression and he's giving us his blessing. And how do you approach this personality? And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained, you know, he went to a different level of Karma Yoga, you know, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga. In great level, he explained, but at the end, he said, forget all of this, you know, all these different activities, all different yoga, but just, you know, concentrate on Bhakti Yoga. Through Bhakti Yoga, we will be able to achieve this personality, like, you know, they explain here. What is this devotional service what we perform? Sometimes we only think, only if we're on the altar, we can perform devotional service. You know, always, the story in Bhagavatam, the pastime in Bhagavatam, the story, pastime of Ambarish Maharaj, always give me lots of inspiration, you know. In life, we have many choices. You can wake up, come to the temple. You can wake up doing many other things. But you wake up, you make that, you know, decision to get up, even though, you know, you don't live far, or you live far, far away, or you have a car. But you're using that vehicle to get you to the temple. This is part of devotional service. You bring some fruit for Krishna, you offer to Krishna. Whatever you have, Krishna doesn't look for quantity, he looked for the quality of your devotion. He doesn't want the, you know, so much. He's hankering for your love. So this devotional service to achieve the Lord, this is the whole purpose of Bhagavatam. How we can, Krishna can manifest in our heart, and how can we perform pure devotional service? This is one way of, you know, simplify everything, not be complicated. Actually, I want devotees to, if they can go to Prabhupada lectures, if they hear Srila Prabhupada give class in 1975 in Caracas, in Venezuela, Prabhupada talk about this first 111 and 112. And Prabhupada talk so beautiful about this only two class I heard about Prabhupada. Talking about this first and second verse of Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada was talking about also, he said, what is Dharma? Dharma is a kind of faith. Then he mentioned, he said, this Dharma, he gave an example, he said, you have the state law. The state law, you know, you have to follow the code of the road, you know, turn right, you're not allowed to turn right, whatever. But whether you believe it or not, you have to follow. You're obliged to follow the law. But if you don't follow, then you get fined. You get points. You get many things. So the Dharma is the same. But usually, this Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha is not favorable for our devotional service, basically, because Dharma people, they could be a little bit religious. Then they start, you know, asking, you know, doing that bartering with the Lord. Then after a while, they think, oh, they start working, they start making it on their own. Oh, why really? I don't need religion. Okay, I'm making it on my own. And then from that, you come to Artha, you know, the Dharma, Artha, Karma. Then they start gratifying their senses. And at the end of the day, they want liberation to merge with the Lord, which is completely not acceptable because this is an offender. But this, you know, this karma, dharma, takama, moksha is not really, Prabhupada took a great length about this in this lecture was saying, asking you to listen. It's very, very nice and we can carry on for a long time here. But also I wanted to, as it was the, disappearance of Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And I think, and also, you know, like Srila Vyasadeva was the he was the one who compiled this great work of Bhagavatam. Srila Vyasadeva, Krishna Das Kaviraj, he was at his parents' day as well yesterday. He also compiled this great work of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he's, you know, he is accessible to all of us, you know, to read this great work. And he's explained that he was very old. He was lame, he was blind, he could not walk. But still, I would read you a few things about his life. And it's very inspiring, I find, that we, as Vaishnava, you know, blessing is very important in our life. And by glorifying these great personalities, the eternal associate of the Lord, first we get purified, the second we get inspiration, third we get some kind of, it's very instructive, and you get blessing by, you know, glorifying these great personalities. And I would read a little bit about the Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Before he started his great work on compiling, I go to Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhatta Goswami first. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was a son of Tapan Mishra. And Tapan Mishra was a very great devotee of Mahaprabhu. They used to live in Bengal. But then Mahaprabhu one day gave Tapan Mishra the instruction to move to Varanasi. And Varanasi is known to be a place of Lord Shiva, Shivaite. But, you know, he was, in his heart, he was thinking, why Mahaprabhu asking me? But at the end, he follows the instruction of Mahaprabhu. He moved to Varanasi. He has a little son called Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. But amazingly, by doing this great service, by following the instruction of Mahaprabhu, he end up in Varanasi. But Mahaprabhu would come regularly to visit this family. And Raghunath Das was very young when Mahaprabhu came. And Mahaprabhu stayed with them for 2 months. And he had this great, great fortune of serving Mahaprabhu personally. And can you imagine this great fortune of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami? So after a while, you know, he was a great devotee, he was learning Srimad Bhagavatam, he's connecting Srimad Bhagavatam again under great Vaishnava and Varanasi. And he would sing very sweetly this beautiful verse of Bhagavatam reciting. It is said that his voice was like a cuckoo. When he recited, it was so beautiful. And he would recite the Bhagavatam to the locals, and while reciting, even the listener would be in tears by listening of Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhatta Goswami. And he also, after his, he went to serve Mahaprabhu again in Puri for about 8 months, but he wanted to stay with Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu gave him this instruction that your parents are old, they're very old, they're Vaishnava, they're great devotee. Your duty is to go and serve your parents. So he went back and he served his family, his parents, his Tapan Mishra and his wife. And then after that, after they left to the spiritual world, he rejoined Mahaprabhu again for another 8 months, serving Lord Chaitanya, cooking. He was a very good cook. He used to cook for Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu at the end asked him to join, give him instruction to go to Vrindavan under the shelter of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami and to regularly chant the Maha Mantra and recitation of Bhagavatam. So he went to under the shelter. And it's very instructive as well when Mahaprabhu sent Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He didn't just go on his own. Mahaprabhu made sure that he was sheltered under the Vaishnava shelter. And sometimes, you know, I know I live in Vrindavan for many years. Devotees come very enthusiastically. But sometimes they leave the shelter of Krishna Balaram, they start exploring outside, and then they get carried away by different, you know, then they start become Babaji, going to Radhakund. There's so many things that attract them because they were not protected. Here you see Raghunath Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was sent by Lord Chaitanya and give him the instruction to be under the shelter of these two Goswamis. And like this, he served and he recite Bhagavatam daily. And I will connect it how every day also he would speak about 2-3 hours on Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially the Anchalila, because he was with Mahaprabhu at the end of his life, of Mahaprabhu's pastime. So every day he will speak about 2-3 hours on this topic. And the crowd with this, you know, Vaishnava, very humble, who was listening very attentively, was Krishna Das Kaviraj, daily will come and hear the recitation of you know, the life of Mahaprabhu. And then from this, Krishna Das Kaviraj, he was the one who got the blessing to start this great work of writing, you know, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also Krishna Das Kaviraj, he went to all the Goswamis, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Lokanath Goswami, and, you know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and all the Vaishnava. He asked for their benediction, begging for their mercy, begging for them to give them blessings so he can carry this great work of Mahaprabhu. And it is said, mentioned that Lokanath Goswami, after giving his blessing to Krishna Das Kaviraj, he asked him not to mention him to any of his writing. So that's why in all this, Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda, Salam Lakshmana Hanuman, Shishi Gonita Ikijayu. And after he begged from all the Vaishnava, he went to Madan Mohan to ask for blessing. And while he was there, the garland of Madan Mohan fell, and the pujari came and garland Krishna Das Kaviraj. And all the Vaishnava there was glorifying, saying, Jai, Jai. So at that time, he understood that he had the mercy of the Lord to carry on this great work. And he was a great personality, but he was very, very humble. And before starting this great work, he went and received the blessing of all the Vaishnavas. He said, I'm praying at the sixth Goswami, that all impediment to my writing of this literature will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled. My path is very difficult. I am blind and lame. My feet are slipping again and again. Therefore, the saint, may the saint help me by granting me the stick of their mercy as my support. You know, this life of the great, it's very important that we understand this life of the great personalities, because they give us, personally, give me a lot of inspiration, because they're not so far away, they're just not long ago. They were here, they were giving their, you know, they give us, like Krishna Das Kaviraj gave us his great work of, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we can relish this, you know, see every single day you can take a little bit of mercy from the Lord. And also the Sisi is a composition of someone who has reached the state of a Paramahamsa and is completely beyond the four ashram. In this verse, you know, Nitmat Saram Satam is mentioned that a devotee is Paramahamsa. Who is a Paramahamsa? Paramahamsa, he has no envy in his heart. He's completely free from all the envy. And the Goswami is, you know, is mentioned in this little translation here. They are not envious of anyone. Because they are not envious of anyone, whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone. They are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Unless we have this envy, what is this envy? Is this envy is what is keeping us away from Krishna? We want to lord it over. We want to be the master. We want to be the doer. We want to be the center of attention. It's envy is a prime, you know, is one of the causes that our fall down that keep us away from Krishna. So how do we get rid of this envy? You know, the medicine is here, but regularly listening to Bhagavatam classes, what is troublesome to the heart will dissipate very slowly, not straight away, will slowly be dissipating. And in this verse, Srila Vyasadeva gave us some condition that we have to be attentively and we have to be submissive to be able to understand, to assimilate this Bhagavatam. But then Prabhupada, he said that you simply come and sit down and hear Bhagavatam. He didn't put any condition on us. He was, you know, he said that sometimes the devotee of the Lord is more merciful than the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, he was so kind. He, you know, Srila Vyasadeva gave us his great work, but we access his truth, Srila Prabhupada. Through his mercy, we're getting this great Srimad Bhagavatam that we can sit down and glorify Radha Gokulananda every day, relishing his beauty, relishing, you know, the devotees, relishing everything about our devotional service. And Prabhupada, before he left to America, he wrote the first canto in the 3 volume, and that's what he took with him to America. And later on, when his worldwide mission was successful, he never gave up and said, okay, I've done it now, okay, we don't need to. But he sweat his blood for us, to give us commenting, studying all the commentaries of different Acharya and Bhagavatam. And he gave us his Bhaktivedanta purport. And he's very, very, he called it very, we're very blessed to be in such association. You know, sometimes I look here, we start from here, Bhaktivedanta Thakur. When you go there, you have the Goswamis, and then you have Gaur-Nitai, go up to Radha Gokulananda. And you just count your blessing, how blessed we are to be in this great Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya, that every single day we wake up, remember, we're not going to enjoy today. Okay, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to chant His holy name, relish His holy name, relish His beautiful form, relish His, you know, associate with His beautiful devotees who has dedicated their life in spreading His mission, in spreading His holy name. And we are so fortunate. Sometimes I take it for granted. You know, I'm not saying we. I'm personally saying we take things for granted. We don't relish our devotees' association. We don't relish Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't relish many things. We become complacent. And, you know, sometimes you get a wake-up call and you understand that, okay, you know, we cannot just take this for granted now. After you've been sick for so long, after so many things, like, you know, purification after purification, you say, Krishna, thank you. I think I got the message now. I should not be complacent about my devotional life. And also, Prabhupada, in that lecture, he talked a lot about people, you know, who, you know, they want, a simple mind can accept God very easily. But the one who, you know, checking and reading and always defeating, always finding a problem, always, you know, they are the one who's missing out. Prabhupada said they're going to take lifetime after lifetime to come to this Krishna consciousness because they don't have enough sukriti, enough pious activities, you know, spiritual piety. Because sometimes pious activities is nothing to do with that. You need, you know, like for us, all of us, we're sitting here in the assembly of Srila Prabhupada, all the great acharyas. By the mercy of, you know, we have created some, you know, sukriti that we're able to be here. And I think I would just talk about a little bit about Raghunath Das Goswami. Everybody knows his life. He's one of the Goswami who came from a billionaire family, very rich Majumdar. And he was not attracted to all this wealth. His only wealth was the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And it is said that he was with Mahaprabhu at the end of Mahaprabhu's life. And he was under the shelter of Swarup Damodar. See, always Mahaprabhu, he will give a devotee to be under the shelter of somebody. And he was under the shelter of the secretary of Mahaprabhu, which is Swarup Damodar, he gave lots of information about the life of Lord Chaitanya. He was very austere. He was living in Radhakund. And Raghunath Das, Radhungan Bhatta Goswami, and Krishna Das Kaviraj, they were all in Vrindavan at the same time. I mean, in Radhakund. If you go to Radhakund when you do the parikrama, you will come to the place where there's Krishna Das Kaviraj Samadhi, Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And when you do the parikrama, you can sit down and you read, you get inspiration, you get the blessing. So every devotee who goes to Vrindavan should go and get the blessing of this great Vaishnava and get, you know, even Srila Prabhupada, before he started his great mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, he didn't just go. He got the blessing of his Gurudev first, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Prabhupada used daily sit, and from his room, he could have darshan of Rupa Goswami Samadhi. And there there's Jiva Goswami Samadhi as well. But that's how Prabhupada, you know, he took the blessing of all the acharyas before he started his great mission. So he gave us the impetus as well to start anything in our life. We should get the blessing of the Vaishnava. And so we can be successful, not for ourselves, but on the behalf of our spiritual master, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of the Lordship. That blessing is very, very important. And we just had a little bit of... I think I spoke about Bhatta Goswami. And he also, before he could access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he had to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda first. Then the mercy of Lord Chaitanya was accessible. We take prasad every day in that beautiful prasadam hall. And there's a beautiful painting there, you know, about this beautiful pastime of Cheap Rice Festival, where after he met Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda said, "I punish you. Your punishment is that you have to feed all the Vaishnava cheap rice." So this beautiful pastime, Cheap Rice Festival, is so nice. And you can see because he was so wealthy, he could give the best ingredient, the best everything, different part of cheap rice. And you see in that painting, it's beautiful. Even there was no space to sit, devotees are sitting in the Ganga, relishing this cheap rice festival. So like this, on days on the great acharyas and great personality, eternal associate of the Lord, we should pray for their blessing. We should pray because their blessing will give us the adhikar, the qualification, that we can access Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it's not possible. It'd be very, very troublesome for us to access. I don't know. I just hope that whatever I was trying to say, you know, it was beneficial. And I just want to say one more thing. Lord Chaitanya, he came to teach the Paramdharma, and Bhagavatam as well. He came as well to teach us the Paramdharma. So it is said that where Srimad Bhagavatam take us out of this darkness and bring us to light. Where is Krishna? There is no darkness. Srimad Bhagavatam brings us auspiciousness, is medicine for the soul, destroy all miseries and bring auspiciousness. And if you try, you know, sincerely, you know, with good heart, maybe one day we can capture this Krishna in our heart. I end up here, and I thank you very much for your attention, your kindness, and give me your blessing after going through a rough, you know, time. tomorrow I'm asking for your blessing. I'm pleading, begging for your blessing. I'm traveling to Vrindavan tomorrow. My first journey after a very long time. To please bless me, I can, without the blessing of a blessing, I won't be able to achieve anything. So please bless me so I can at least grant entrance in Vrindavan. Because just buying a ticket doesn't take you to Vrindavan. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any comment? I try to answer, but I don't feel I'm qualified to answer, but whatever little realization I can share. If anybody has something to add, they can add.